Hello, gorgeous, gorgeous person, and welcome to another episode of the Mindful Drinking Movement Podcast. I'm your host, Jess Betancourt. I got a little bit of a raspiness in my throat today. If you are new here, welcome. I am a former wino and a mom of four and a hypnotherapist and a holistic health coach, and I have completely changed my relationship with alcohol, which has been nothing short of a phenomenon to me, which is why I pivoted the focus of my work, and I help other people to do the same, is because it has been such a massive shift in life. I'm just so grateful for it, and I just so feel compelled and not obligated, but committed to helping you find your way out of a disentanglement with alcohol. It's so life-affirming to do so, and it just is, it's an incredible shift that I really believe that anybody can make, and I also believe that you can do it on your own terms. There's so much literature and groups and organizations that say that immediate sobriety is like kind of the only way. And while I find that to be so true for some people who are really in medical emergency and need help immediately, I also just strongly believe that if you don't feel like you fit into that camp, that there are other methods for you to release yourself from an alcohol addiction or an alcohol attachment. If you don't have a severe case of alcohol use disorder or alcoholism, whatever terminology you prefer to use. If you do have that, then I would strongly encourage you to seek professional help and to completely stop as soon as possible if your life is threatened or your safety or the lives or the safety of others because of your drinking. However, if you are not in that, if you are not in that camp, and you just struggle internally, and maybe nobody really notices, or maybe some people do who are close to you, but maybe you're just someone who nobody says anything to, or maybe you're in the company of people, of other people who drink as much as you do. And so it doesn't, when you look around, it doesn't feel by association that there's any issue, but maybe deep inside of you, something is surfacing that is asking you to look deeper and to question if this is really something that you want to be doing the way that you're doing it for the rest of your time in this body on this planet. Is that what you really want? Is that what will best serve you? Is this for your greatest good? So those are really the questions that got me on this path where I just kind of like can't help myself now because it's just become such a deep exploration. And that is why I make this podcast, is for you, is if you find yourself in a similar situation and you're wanting to disentangle yourself from habitual use of alcohol altogether, or just really to revise that relationship on your own terms in a way that feels good to you. I just think that it's a personal choice and it's a personal journey. But this podcast is about something that is more universal, so to speak, I guess, and that is our desire, the human being's need and desire to feel connected. And connection, we see it and it reflects to us, and it's reflected to us by connection with other people, connection with communities, groups that we belong to, the tribe. But that all is just a mere reflection of how we are connected with ourselves. And how we are connected with our spirit or our soul in our body. Connection as we want to experience it in life is just a reflection. It's a mirror of how connected or disconnected we are with ourselves, which is why alcohol seems like a really good solution to that problem of feeling disconnected from yourself. Because it does seem to fill a hole or an attempt to fill a void where we don't feel deeply connected with who we really are and what we're doing in this life, our purpose or our soul's mission or this greater sense of being alive, rather than like dredging through the day, which I know human life can feel very mundane and not special. However, alcohol reinforces that notion that it's not special and that it's just something to dredge through. And then alcohol becomes this like reward system at the end of dredging through a human day, that you get to like sit down and have this thing that we've put all this specialness around. And then that becomes this cycle that we go through, right? Dredging, a little bit of specialness, dredging, a little bit of specialness. This is what is referred to as the trap, as the alcohol trap. And because it keeps us coming back for this like reward cycle. But alcohol also is a depressant, and it depresses us. It suppresses our emotions, not only the ones that we don't want to feel, but the beautiful ones of joy and love and bliss and connectedness. So that's what I'd like to explore a little bit more in this episode. I came across, I'm a Russell Brand fan. He's a wild man, but I just totally enjoy listening to him. And he had this quote popped up on his Instagram just yesterday, and it said, "What is addiction other than attempts to return to the garden by sensory means?" And I just totally agree with that. And it kind of got me reminiscing, what is the word I want? I just like, my memory was jogged, and it took me back to this time in when I was in grad school, and I was drinking all the time, like since high school. If you've listened to my story, I started drinking in high school and drank almost daily, like up until I started having my kids, when all of this changed for me. But so when I was in grad school, I was drinking every day. I would even go out at I went to school in San Francisco downtown. I would go out to lunch and like have wine in the middle of the day and go back to school. And like, it was just not, I didn't think it was an issue, but I decided, because I knew other people who had visible addiction. And of course, in San Francisco, if you know anything about that city, is just writhing with people who are suffering with addiction, people who are passed out on the street and other people step over them because there's syringes lying around them or empty bottles or cans. So, you know what I mean? It's like, it's easy to see where addiction is so visible and blatant and obvious, but it's much harder to see when it's like something covert that is within ourselves or even within other people. So I decided I was going to write this paper, an essay about how someone who consumes, a drinker, in particular, someone who consumes alcohol, is for them as a drinker, is someone who is in a pursuit of ecstasy, but they're seeking this ecstasy through the means of an addictive substance. But the desire of drinking is to feel closeness, is to feel connection or oneness or solace or safety. There's a deeper need that is trying to be met by someone who is drinking all the time. And how, and then, you know, there's the variant degrees of how well they hide it or how aware they are of their issue. But the objective is the same, is to seek some sort of personal satisfaction that is not there, that is not being connected to. It's the attempt to get it through something sensorial, as Russell Brand said. The spiritual seeker is also desiring those things, but they use it by the means of prayer, or they're trying to achieve this by the means of prayer or communing with nature or meditation or other modalities. But if you look at these two different people, a spiritual seeker and a drinker, what they have in common is the same desire to feel that connectedness and that oneness. But the paths to get there right are very different. The problem being that for the drinker, alcohol, especially excessive alcohol consumption, can be very harmful, not only to the body, but also to the spirit. And because this desire to feel this ecstasy is so strong, and then coupled with the fact that alcohol is highly chemically addictive, the drinker will have a difficult, if not impossible, time trying to achieve or reach this goal of feeling oneness or connectedness. And it's like what I say, like alcohol carries what I call the empty promise. And it's like it seems like the solution is in there, and we've imbued alcohol with this meaning that it has this special power or this ability to like give us that feeling. But it's really just our belief, the promise that we tell ourselves that it's in there. And it's like, maybe it's in there, but it never comes. It doesn't come after the second drink. So we like, you drink more, you drink the entire bottle, and it's just not in there. It's like, where is it? We were led to believe that it was in there, but it's never going to be found there. And yet there's this pursuit or this searching or this seeking for that feeling, this feeling, this like pervasive feeling that all of humanity is looking for. Many of my clients refer to alcohol as a trick. It feels like this after some time. It's like we've been tricked. We were told that there was this solution in here, that it was going to make us feel this way. And our mind is playing that trick on us because the belief that we have that alcohol is capable of giving us this feeling of connection or oneness is what keeps us coming after it and doing it again and again and again, despite all the negative ramifications that come with it. I'd be like, what's a good analogy? Like if you were dating alcohol and you were in this long-term relationship with it, you might one day come to the conclusion that this partner is not who you thought they were, that they never delivered on what they said they were going to do or what you thought that they were going to do. And like all of this satisfaction was so temporary and fleeting. Like maybe like the sex was really good, but they never had anything to talk about at dinner. Maybe you've been in one of those. So you decide that you need to end things, or like at least revise the terms of the relationship, which then leaves you feeling uncertain and uneasy because you've been together for so long and you're not sure who you'll be without them, without alcohol, but you do it and you redefine the relationship, and this leaves you feeling then like some maybe lost and alone and not sure where to go or what to do next because you've been using alcohol to connect with the potential of feeling this feeling of connection and oneness. And then maybe you go through some dark night of the soul, but you allow and you let it happen because there's not much else that you can do. It's like this total surrender. And then that's when the magic happens. That is when you let go of believing that you had to control everything and that what you thought was essential and necessary, namely alcohol, you thought it was essential and necessary to feel these ecstatic, connected feelings. When all of that falls apart, when all of that just falls away and you let it, it was really just, it's making the way for you to see something else that you couldn't see before. And that is that you are already a spiritual being. And you were craving your spiritual connection, your connection with yourself or with source, with your spirit, craving this spiritual connection in your human experience. But alcohol found you first, maybe, and you thought like this was it. But really, alcohol was just a detour on your way to remembering yourself and your inherent connection with source that is always available to you. It's like what that manifestation saying, what you are seeking is also seeking you. Just whatever is in the way needs to fall away, or you have to be willing to release your grip on it to let it go so you can see what was there the whole time. So it's like after all this time, this journey that you're on, being intertwined with alcohol. And now if you're listening to this podcast, coming into a place where you're exploring or experiencing, experimenting with letting it go or redefining it, releasing your attachment or your belief that the ecstasy and the oneness and the connection is available to you via something else, something external, something sensorial. But you finally realize, like, you don't need this middleman. You don't need it to help you feel the closeness and the connection and the oneness and the solace and the safety. It's just that you needed access to yourself. You just need access to yourself. It's all you needed all along. So it does kind of, like, as I reflect on my own experience with alcohol for decades of chronic use, it was really just this winding pathway to get me to this place. And that's been my journey. And there are countless experiences, people's personal experiences of kind of saying a similar thing. So what is it going to be for you? I found this from the Seventh-day Adventist Health.org forum. And it says, when a person moves from occasional drinks for fun to drinking to deal with turmoil and emotional pain and trauma, problems are sure to arise. This is a common thread found among those with alcohol use disorder, a lack of spiritual grounding. If you interview a person with alcohol use disorder, they will often tell you that when they took their first drink, a warm, nourishing, and visceral sensation filled their chest, where loneliness and fear once festered. They describe the liberation of guilt, shame, pain, remorse, and all other woes, and in their place, a temporary sense of relief and confidence that things will be okay. Substances can seem like a great replacement for rewards of a spiritual nature, which is why people who use them for emotional relief often struggle so hard to let go of the substance when the bottom invariably falls out. The substance begins to create more problems than it solved, yet people still hold on to their crutch for fear of falling. People with an alcohol use disorder have a common trait of personality change. The loss of choice and control in who and how they are in the world under the grip of alcohol leads to a spiraling hopelessness. For this population, a spiritual grounding is critical. Ingestion of this substance breaks down our ability to connect as it simultaneously deteriorates the body. And because of this, recovery must be about finding purpose and meaning. It requires a deep commitment to growth, a developed tolerance for discomfort, and acquisition of the ability to feel a sense of awe and wonder. These, once again, are matters of the spirit, the gifts we find in nature, in human connection, and in being part of the relief of suffering for other sentient beings. And without this, toleration of life sober is simply unbearable. I couldn't agree with that more. And that is precisely why I believe building a repertoire or a daily habit of spiritual practices is so impactful and necessary in helping you minimize or remove alcohol altogether. You can get high by feeling turned on by spirituality. You can learn how to use, or rather to like be in your body, to have an incredibly riveting, blissful experience of life. It does require first some, like, a shedding of a skin, a releasing of the old. You have to let certain things die, let go to be released from you, which can be accompanied by grief. It can feel like grief to let go of these no longer relevant parts of us. These parts of us that we're moving away from, that we've outgrown, it can feel like a grieving or a sadness to let go of that. or to at least like no longer strongly identify with those younger wounded parts of us, which are, for a lot of us, those are like the identities that we're thinking and acting from. And so there is some sadness that accompanies this. There's discomfort and growth inherently, always. And it's just such a beautiful, and it's such a beautiful and rewarding experience, because on the other side of it is that connection with yourself, a deep connection that feels so authentic. You just feel like yourself. Things seem to bother you less. You feel more in tune. You feel like creative and intuitive. You feel like you can access connection with source or God or with the universe, because there's not this block in the way. And when shit goes south and things don't go well, you're much more resilient and much more capable of handling life and the detours, or the, what would we say, or like the monkey wrenches, or, you know, the roadblocks, the obstacles that come, as they do inevitably, right? So learn how to stay grounded and held together. That's really what it is like, you learn how to stay grounded and held together by connecting with the forces of nature and the universe and of your own spiritual being. Thanks for being here. That's all I got for you today. I invite you, if you want to explore what spiritual practice can do for you, if you don't already have spiritual practices that really benefit you and like light you up and make you feel all psychedelic and juicy and awesome, that's what I'll be teaching inside of the 21-Day Holistic Health Challenge for a more sober October. It's October 1st through the 21st, and it's a daily accountability support system that's private, and we'll be working with therapeutic modalities for moving our body, but also for purifying the organs. Like, we're going to learn how to tone and purify, detox our liver, our spleen, your digestive system. But it's very gentle, and everything that I'm going to give you to do will take about 10-15 minutes a day. Also accompanied by removing alcohol. So we remove alcohol. We're no longer suppressing and oppressing the body and the spirit. So there's so much more potential and freedom to work with those things. That's holistic health, right? Your body, your mind, and your spirit. And tending to all three of those allows you to feel this sense of wholeness and connection with yourself. That's what's up. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.